First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. If you witness to folks and get to talk to folks about Jesus Christ, you'll find out that a lot of church folks are really confused about a lot of things. They're really confused about salvation. They're really confused about eternal security. They're really confused about this Calvinism and different things. And there's a lot of confusion out there. But the Word of God clears that stuff up. And if you haven't talked to many people, we got a track rack down there. Walk out this door. It's down there on your left-hand side. When you walk out, you may have walked past it 1,000 times, never grabbed one. But if you empty that thing out, we will refill it by the grace of God. And when you're giving those to people, you're going to find out some people believe some strange things. Amen. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And they're lacking rightly dividing, and they're lacking the word of God. And we'll look at some things today connected to salvation by the grace of God in 1 Peter. But before we do, let's go ahead and pray again before we let the word of God deal with our heart. Heavenly Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the blood shed on Calvary, your blood, God, according to Acts 20:28. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for being a long-suffering God. Thank you for your promises, Lord. We're looking for your glorious appearing, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Until then, help us, meet with us, and breathe on this service. Bless the message. Bless each and every person here. And Lord, we want to lift up our brothers and sisters that couldn't be here today for health issues and whatever's going on, Lord, that you'd bless them and help them. And I ask for your blessing on Jerry Caudill, Lord, that you'd help him through his situation he's having today with his health. And the doctors would figure him out, figure out what's going on there. And Lord, that you'd bless each and every person here. And Brother Terry, and Brother Don, and Brother Mac, and Brother Jim, and Sister Shirley, all the rest, Lord, the people are going through some things. The wives are going through things with their husbands, Lord, with health issues. And just help them, Lord. Walk these valleys with them. Walk these valleys with us. We are the lily of the valley, Lord. In the darkest crevices of the valley, we can still see the light of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you'd bless us and breathe on us today in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. I want to look at some things today about not just the relationship, but kinship, about salvation, about some things that you are if you're saved. First of all, if you've never realized you're a sinner, for all sin comes short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, you are lost. If you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you never believed in the shed blood that He shed on Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection, and realized that you were a sinner and went to Him and called on Him for salvation, putting your faith in Him and Him alone, you're lost. But if you're here today and you've done that, if you've trusted Christ, there's some things I want to look at. I hope it'll help you out. I know the Word of God won't return void. I know it'll do what it's set to do as long as you let it do it. Amen. So with receptive hearts, we want to see what God has for us today. And the first thing I want to see is in verse number 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." You're elect. You're elect. I'm not talking about John Calvin election. I'm not talking about the presidential election. I'm not talking about that type of stuff. I'm not talking about whether or not God picked you to go to heaven or picked you to go to hell. Because God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He didn't die for part of the world. The blood wasn't just strong enough for part of the world. He died for everybody. He shed that blood. Hey, remember, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm talking to, you know, John Calvin. He's right now. Amen. He might have been wrong when he was here, but as soon as he died, I hope the guy was saved. And as soon as he died, he got right. Just like we're going to get right on the Bible. The things that you're confused about, some things you don't understand, one of these days you'll draw your last breath, you'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you'll finally be right about everything. Amen. Amen. Are you right with Him today? You see, you're elect. God elects some things and predestinated. He predestinates some things. He doesn't do it like eeny, meeny, mighty, mo, heaven for you and to hell you go. What He does is He offers the blood to anybody. And when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are predestined from that point on to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
If I didn't say anything else this morning, but read the Word of God and say this one thing to you, this would be worth coming to church for. Amen. One of these days, you're going to be like Jesus Christ. I mean, God's will is that you like Him here on this earth. I mean, He wants you to walk with Him and talk with Him and walk like Him and talk like Him and be like Him and love like Him and minister like Him and understand, be long-suffering like Him. Hey, stick around Baptist long enough, you learn how to be long-suffering. Amen. Start with the pew. Start with the pulpit. Start anywhere you want. You've got to learn how to be long-suffering if you hang around God's people long enough. Amen. A lot of times it's easier to hang around the devil's people sometimes. Amen. You can hang around them and just go, well, they're lost. That's what they do. But sometimes you see saved people and hear saved people and you go, good night. And God says, yeah, you do that too. Amen.
Yep. Right.
See, God won't let you put a finger on one of His without putting His finger on you. But you're elect according to foreknowledge. See, John Calvin couldn't read very well. He forgot that word foreknowledge. See, God had a foreknowledge of whether or not you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. John went to Revelation. If you're saved, He's seen you before you were even born. Amen. Because God took John outside of time in the book of Revelation and took all the way up through the tribulation, all the way to the millennial reign. But before He got to the tribulation, He takes him to Revelation chapter 5 and 6, and He starts seeing people in chapter 5 praising God. And if you're saved, you were there when John was there.
Amen.
Amen. You're elect. You're elect. Praise God. You see, what's election all about? Well, election is God has a vote and the devil has a vote and you vote and decide whether you're elect or not. Amen?
Yes,
it's not like the presidential elections. Your vote actually counts. Amen? When you vote, God says, all right, I'll take you. Amen?
Yes.
And, you know, honestly, I'm not saying that God's a Republican, but I do believe the devil's a Democrat. Amen? Anyway, you're elect. You're elect. If you're a Democrat, you still get saved and get right. Amen? If you're a Republican, just get right.
Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. You're elect. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You're elect and you're begotten. What's that begotten thing? You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Right.
Begotten Son. This is a lot of the perversions take that word begotten out and just makes Him a Son. He's the only begotten Son. You see, physically He was begotten. He, God the Father, and look, Joseph is not Jesus' father.
Amen.
So if you got a Bible that says Joseph is Jesus' father, throw that thing in the trash. We'll give you a real one. Amen.
Amen.
They're free, no charge. God's already paid for them. Amen. But the thing is, that word begotten, it's talking about your second birth. It's talking about your second birth. Because His only begotten Son on this earth died and shed His blood, which was God's blood according to Acts 20:28, and He rose again, that death, burial, and resurrection, and that blood that was shed, that atonement that was made, that was perfect and acceptable and holy.
Yes.
Now when you trust Jesus Christ, you're begotten, you're elect, and you're begotten, you're born again. Guess what born again means? That means you're taken out of the family of the devil and put in the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. And I know, you probably got ladies, probably not just the ladies, but some of the men, you probably got 15 mirrors in your house, but one of these days you're not going to be looking at you anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. You know what? You get a break from that mirror, you can look at Jesus Christ right here.
Yeah.
And this is the best mirror you could ever get.
Yeah.
It makes you a little uglier than you want to be.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It shows the blemishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shows the spots. It shows the stains. But it also shows the Savior. You're elect. You're begotten. Oh, look at 5. Jump down to verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You're elect, you're begotten, and you're kept. Now, this is important. I talk to people all the time and say, hey, hand them a Bible tract. Say, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I get saved all the time. I've been saved 15 times. You all heard that. Oh, man, I get saved every morning. Oh yeah, I've been saved for years, off and on. I get saved. I got saved when I was 10. They got list of times they got saved. And you see what the thing is? They're Calvinist or they're Arminian. Usually, they either believe God picks and chooses. Well, nobody can know. You ever heard that? Can't really know. Well, I got a Bible that says in 1 John 5:13, these things that are written, you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know you're going to heaven.
Amen.
You don't have to guess. I'm telling you right now, you can know it. You can walk out this door, you can know you're saved, never come back to church, never read your Bible, never pray, never do anything God wants you to do, and still go to heaven.
Yep.
You don't have to put money in a plate. What?
Right.
Somebody stole the plates. You don't have to put money in a plate. Baptist. You don't have to put money in a plate. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. You get to do those things because you're saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. But it's not your works. For by grace you save through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now look, if you could work to get it, you could boast about it, and Jesus died for nothing. If you could work to keep it, you could boast about it, because Jesus' death wasn't enough. But you know what that says? It says you're elect, you're begotten, and you're kept. Let's read that verse again. You're kept. So I'm kept by my water baptism, I'm kept by my church membership, I'm kept by my tithes and offerings, I'm kept by my good works, I'm kept by... I tell the preacher does a good job even when he stinks. Amen. I do all this stuff so I can be kept. I'm kept, I'm kept, I'm kept, I'm kept by me. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Boy, if I quit doing that, I might be in trouble. So me. But look what it says in verse number 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God.
Amen.
Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You're not kept by the power of your water baptism. You're not kept by your good works. Jesus is the only one that has any good works. If you realize that all of your righteousness are filthy rags, there's none righteous, no, not one, you realize your works are all garbage.
That's right.
I mean, we can work, and you can impress me, I can impress you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I impress you or not, but you can impress me. Maybe we can impress each other. But you're not going to impress God. You know what that Bible says in Romans? I think it's chapter 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
It's reasonable.
Yep.
It doesn't say, present your body as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, so you can keep your salvation. It says it's just reasonable to do right after what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen? You're elect, you're begotten, you're kept by the power of God. Think about what that means for a minute. God would have to have a power failure. Amen? Night before last, now we sleep with fans on. We've got to have noise.
Yeah.
Without noise, I don't sleep half time good anyway, but without noise, it's bad. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, power goes out. Whoop! I mean, it's crickets, man, except for the lightning and the creaking of the house. You ever notice your house creaks when the fans are off? It don't do that when the fans are on. You're like, good night, I'm on horror movies or something. Amen? Either that or my wife's, you know, till death does part. I don't know what's going on. There's some noises going on in here. She got a knife under her pillow. I got a gun under mine, you know, all that stuff. But anyway, we're just trying to protect ourselves, that's all. But ain't from each other, no. But the thing, just be honest. Your husbands and wives, you can laugh at that.
Yeah.
Husbands, no, I'm just kidding. But wives, you can laugh at that, amen. But here, the thing is, you're kept by the power of God. That power went out, and you know what? I got up the next morning. Well, I was still up the next morning because the fans weren't running. And I looked at my phone, and I got a text from Duke Energy that said, there's a power outage in my area. I had no idea, you know. I mean, why am I always the last one to know? Me and the fans. Amen. They didn't even know they were off. So I get this text and it said they didn't have an estimate on the time the power was going to come back on, restore the power. So like 7-8 hours later, the power finally come back on. But you know, when I get to the gates of heaven, I'm not expecting a text and say, sorry, God had a power failure.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Oh, sorry. You see, God doesn't have a power failure because the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than you could ever imagine. It's God's blood. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. It's not keeping you from year to year. It's not keeping you from ceremony to ceremony. It's keeping you forever. When God said He gives you everlasting life and He gives you eternal life, He said, my sheep hear my name and they shall never perish. That means eternal, because you're kept by the power of God. You're not kept by you. You couldn't even get you saved, let alone keep you saved. It's all the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all the power of God. Where's the power? There's power in the blood. It's resurrecting power. It's power of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You say, what's the gospel? It's the death. Jesus Christ died, shed His blood. It's the burial. It's the resurrection. If He didn't come out of that grave, I don't care what blood was shed. If He didn't come out of that grave, you're going to hell.
Amen. That's right.
The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Well, I believe Jesus was a good man and He was a prophet. You better believe that He's God. And He come back out of that grave. He said He had the power to lay His life down. He had the power to take it up again. And He took it up again. And one of these days, if you praise God, He's going to take you up. Amen? Today would be good.
Amen.
Amen? And when I say good, I mean good. Real good. Elect, begotten, kept by the power of God. 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You're elect, you're begotten, you're kept, and you're tried. You know what happens to God's children? I know what the TV preachers say. Oh, I understand, you know, God's children are all driving Maseratis, and they've got a $6 million house, and if they're in God's will, and they got all this money, and they got all this stuff, and boy, everything's just peachy keen. Everything's going right for them all the time. Boy, if anything's wrong, it's got to be the neighbors. It ain't them. Everything's just perfect. Everything, I mean, God just sunshine and lollipops. They got saved, and everything's sunshine. But you know what the Bible says? You're going to get tried. You're going to go through some things. You know what Job said? Then he comes forth, he'll come forth as gold. You know what that Bible just said? That you're trying your faith is more precious than gold. And you know why? Because the end result, if you walk with God through it, is Jesus Christ getting glory. Check it out. Read the verse again. Hey, you're tried. You're going to be tried. There are going to be some things. There are going to be some trials. There are going to be some tribulation. There are going to be some tough times. Hey, I wish that we could just set a map out and say, this is the way life's going to be. You get saved, you think everything's just going to be great. And you get saved, you think everybody's going to get saved.
Yeah.
And you start telling people about Jesus Christ, and you're fired up until older Christians that quit witnessing start telling you, they don't care. Amen. People that used to witness, that got tired of the battle, quit, and they start telling the younger people that people don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I found out? That's a lie.
Amen.
There are still people out there, more now probably than there were 4 years ago, that are afraid they're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Even though there are preachers trying to explain away hell.
Yeah.
There are people out there that, you know, take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine, do this, do that, Biden, Trump, all that junk. And people are so confused and so, oh, Portland's on fire and, you know, Ferguson is there. All this stuff that's going on in this world and has been going on in this world. There are people out there that want truth. There are more people out there that want it than there are people that will give it. Did you hear what I just said? There are more people out there that want the truth than there are people giving it. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There are people out there dead in their trespasses and sins. You know what they need? They need the Bible. They need the Bible. You know what they're not going to do? They're not going to run to the bookstore and pick up a King James Bible and start praying and reading it, most of them.
Yeah.
I understand the living epistles, and I understand all that, and I understand the, you know, we're supposed to be an example. I understand that. I understand they were first called Christians in Antioch, Syria, because they looked like Jesus Christ. They looked like Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ was doing? He was a minister.
Yep.
Minister means to give. You know what he gave? The Word of God. The devil takes it, he goes up to a high mountain, the spirit led up him up to a high mountain. You know what the devil does? The devil challenged him four times. You know, one after another, you know what he told him? Thus saith the Lord. It is written. It is written. It is written. You know what he did? He ministered to the devil.
Yeah.
He gave him the word of God.
Yeah, amen.
Devil's giving him a bad time, and he gave him the word of God. You know why churches get so messed up, and Christians get so messed up, saved people get so messed up? That saved people and Christian thing, you got to be careful with that. You can be saved and look like a hellion, or you can be a Christian. And I'm not talking about skirt length and hair length. And all. I'm talking about the way you act, the way you react, the way you go through life, the way you deal with things, the way you treat others, and the way you talk about Jesus Christ and treat people with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about people, oh, I knew you were a Christian. Anybody said that to you in the last few months?
Right.
Oh, I knew you were a Christian. I had a feeling you were a Christian. Or they go, you go to church? Amen. I talk to people all the time, don't even know what church they go. Oh, I go to church. Where's it at? I don't know. What's the name of it? I don't know. What's the preacher's name? I don't know. Good night. You're going to go through some things. You're going to be tried. You know, really, I think subconsciously, I think spiritually the devil has defeated a lot of saved people by saying, you know what? Life would be a lot better if you just quit. You're already going to heaven. You're already going to heaven. Why upset Aunt Agnes with the truth? Why upset your relatives that don't know whether they're a boy or a girl with the truth? Why just float along and wait for your ride to heaven. You're going. And people say, all right, I'm done. I'll just quit and I'll just feed this flesh and try to enjoy the ride. And you know, really, deep down inside, if you're saved, you're miserable if you're not doing what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
Oh, you can play the game and you can act like you're not. But the happiest you'll ever be is when you're in God's will. And in God's will, when bad things happen, are better than being out of God's will. With the world seeing everything is good that's happening. It's about being in God's will. Hey, you're elect, you're begotten, you're kept, you're tried. All right, look at verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You're destined. You know what you're destined to do? You're destined to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So why? Because of my works? No, because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of His finished work on Calvary. He said, it is finished. All you got to do is go to Calvary and say, Lord, I'm finished.
Amen.
I'm done with me. I'm trusting you. I'm with you. You're destined to go to heaven. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, it doesn't say until, it says unto. Because you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of the rapture. That transaction will be complete. You get a new body. Amen? One that doesn't work like the tin man. You know, if I only had a heart, if I only had a brain, if I only had an oil can, amen? You can get a new body. And the Holy Spirit's your oil can, amen? You're destined, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. You ever prayed that prayer? Lord, help me. Well, good night. There's some prayers. The last 10 months, I'll tell you, I've been going over some things wishing I hadn't prayed some things. Amen. Because the devil kick your rear end around the block with things you pray even. But have you ever got down your knees and said, Lord, help me see things the way you see things? Lord, help me see sin the way you see sin. As a pastor, I'm supposed to try to see sin the way he sees sin. Do you know what God does? He's funny this way. He starts showing you yours. He said, let's see if we start with you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Just put the other list aside. Amen. And let's start with you. Say, well, Lord, I'm not down at the whorehouse. I'm not down at the ball. I'm not down here. I'm not the dog fights. I'm not the chicken fights. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not spending my Sundays on the pontoon. I'm not down at the NASCAR race doing this, watching them drink booze at the wheel. I'm not doing all that stuff. I'm not, you know, I'm not there out in the woods trying to get a hold of you on Sunday morning while I'm deer hunting. I'm in church. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Say, but what about what you're not doing?
Right. Amen.
You see, we let ourselves slide on that. You don't let other people slide like that. Ain't done nothing for the Lord. The Lord's like, you didn't do five things I told you to do yesterday. Amen. Amen. I mean, sometimes, honestly, you could leave with a pocket full of tracks and maybe come back with extras. Amen. I get ambitious sometimes, you know. I'll fill them things up. I'll be 10, 15, 20 tracks in there. And I'm thinking, I'm good. 20 minutes later, the Lord's like, you better reload. The Lord's got a plan. Amen. You got one too. I'm going to take 20 in there and I'm going to get one or two out. And the Lord's like, no, you better reload. And sometimes you'll take two or three and he'll go, oh, that's all you're taking? Yeah, that's all I'm up to today. And you're out. Somebody's like, what are you talking about? I'm telling you. Go down there to the track rack, pick some of them tracks up. I'm a pretty good person. Grace tracks. Is something missing? And just give them to the guy that sacks your groceries, if that happens anymore. Give them to the cash. You go to Walmart, somebody's going to have to come to the cash register and fix something. Give them that. Amen. You can't get out of there without something going haywire. Amen. You go to Lowe's and you're not wanting to buy anything, the 500 people that try to help you when you don't need anything, give them a track. Now, when you go in there and you need something, you might as well leave the tracks in the car because ain't nobody going to help you then. Nobody but Jesus. You're elect, you're begotten, you're kept, you're tried, you're destined. Look at verse 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You're called. You're called. What are you called to? Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be sober. And Billy Sunday just got in the conversation, right? It's not talking about booze. You know what? That word sober is not always about alcohol. That word sober is about having the right mind. It's about having the mind of Christ. You know what Paul says? Ye have the mind of Christ. Where do we have it? It's right there. It's sitting on the podium, sitting up here. It's right there. Amen. Be sober. Be right-minded. Don't be drunk with the filthy communication of this world. Amen. Don't be drunk with yourself like Solomon. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It says to be sober. You're called. You're called to be sober. So, well, I don't drink. Yeah, but do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Do you see things God's way? When you see somebody in need spiritually, you just walk past them. Hey, look, there are 1,000 people in every town that want to help the homeless. And I'm not against it. But there are very few people that care about the souls of men.
Yeah.
Some of them people out there in the street corner are going to split heaven wide open. Amen. They're saved. They just can't get off the dope. So, well, I don't believe that. Read the Bible. Hey, look at you.
Amen.
Oh, how could they be saved? How could you be saved?
No.
How could you look in the mirror every day of your life and say, I know I'm saved. I'm living right.
Right.
Yeah. So you ever doubt your salvation? Yeah, pretty regularly, not very long, but I'm like, good night, Lord, how could I be saved? And he goes, because I saved you and I'm kept you by my power. Amen? And if I didn't save you and keep you by my power, you'd have something to brag about beside me. And all I got to do is brag about him. I got nothing else. And you don't either. People don't care about the souls of men. Calls you to be sober. If you're right-minded, you'll have a love for the lost. You'll care about people that are going to split hell wide open. If you're sober, if you're right-minded, if you have the mind of Christ, you're going to realize there's more to this world than just getting up and making money and wasting it. And if you don't believe it now, you'll believe it when you draw your last breath, because you're going to figure out you can't take it with you.
Amen.
And if you could, you wouldn't want it anyway, because you're finally going to realize it was nothing but a headache, most of it.
Right.
Amen. You're called to be sober. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You're called to be obedient. Now, sober, you're right-minded. That means you're thinking like Jesus Christ. If you're obedient, you're following Jesus Christ. You're following the Holy Spirit of God. You're submitting to the Word of God. Let's just be, what was it, how do they say it in the government? Transparent. Let's be transparent. I don't want to be a transparent. Let's be transparent, amen? Let's just be honest. You can read this Bible, and God can show you where you're wrong,
yeah. Yeah.
And tell you how to get right,
yeah.
And you won't do it sometimes.
Yeah. Amen.
Now you got the mind of Christ, I'm starting to see me right, I'm starting to see you right, I'm starting to understand some things right, I know what my purpose is, and I'm sorry I had to turn Joel Osteen off for 15 minutes to figure out what my purpose was, but I figured out that I'm supposed to be telling people how to get to heaven. And then you're not obedient to it. You're called to be sober, you're called to be obedient. Look at 15 through 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. The Baptists have left the chat. Amen. You know why? Because we get so caught up in this legalism, we think everything's legalism. Now, I think a pastor is standing up here with a ruler and measures people's dress, women's dresses, hopefully just women, measured women's dresses and measured men's hair length and all this stuff. And, you know, like I said before, I can't preach probably two-thirds of Baptist churches around this world because I got a mustache. You have to shave that thing off to get in, amen? They tell you to leave. And it said, tell you, white shirt only.
Right.
And my broad phylacteries, can I bring them in too? I mean, come on now.
Amen.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying be right with God. I'm saying you personally pray. You personally read your Bible. You decide what's right. You let God guide you. You follow the Holy Spirit. You be obedient. You be sober-minded. And you find out what's right. And if God says, hey, lady, that dress should be longer.
Right.
Hey, man, your hair should be shorter. Then do it.
Yeah.
The preacher is not the Holy Spirit of God, and he shouldn't have that responsibility.
Yeah.
You should. Amen? Amen. And you know what? Maybe God says you don't go witnessing to people outside the bar because you used to be a drunk. And maybe God sends somebody else down there and says, you go tell them people at that bar. Not going in there and drink with them. You're not a Methodist. Amen. Put your cigarettes out, put your beer down. But stand outside and hand them a tract. Amen. And maybe exactly what you're supposed to be doing is not exactly what somebody else is supposed to be doing. But you ought to be able to tell by the Holy Spirit in that book what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Amen. See, if you would allow the preacher to be human and realize that he's just a man put in an office, then you could quit comparing yourselves among yourselves. And you know what? I don't want you to ever think that I'm any better than you are. I should try harder. Really, that didn't even come out right. I have a responsibility to try and to meet some qualifications and try to keep those qualifications up, but those qualifications are for every Christian.
Right.
There's nothing on that list of a bishop or a deacon that doesn't apply to a Christian, any saved person. None of it. None of it. But I think if you're not careful, if a pastor stands up here and he'll raise up a standard that's unmeetable, and the truth is he goes home, he looks at the same sinner that you do, just a different name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I could close this, throw it in the trash, never step foot in the pulpit, never preach a word about Jesus Christ again, still go to heaven. There's no difference between me and you, except the office. The office. But see, I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll let the devil tell us that God's standard is unattainable. God wouldn't tell you to do anything, He wouldn't provide you a way to do it. You see, when you get to the heaven, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ and you're making excuses, He's going to say, yeah, but I had an answer for that in Genesis 3. I had an answer for that in 1 Peter 1. I had an answer for that in Romans chapter this. I had an answer for that. He's going to give you an answer for everything that you think you're answering Him with, and He's going to give it to you from this book. I believe that. Matter of fact, He'll say, seems to me, did I talk to you about that right here when you were reading through Revelation? I talked to you about that over here when you were reading in John. I talked to you about that. Oh, to whom much is given, much is required. You'll come up with all kinds of excuses. You know, you're called to be sober. You're called to be obedient. You're called to be holy. Just live right.
Amen.
I'm not, you know, we're going on to sinless perfection. You know, you've been speaking in tongues, get the second blessing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God says you're wrong, have a desire to get right.
Amen.
And when God says you're right, don't relax and say, okay, I'm right. Now I'm there. I've arrived. I'm talking about having a daily walk, a daily prayer life, a daily Bible study, a Bible study time, a time where you get a hold of God and He gets a hold of you and you let Him. Be ye holy as I am holy, He says. You got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. We talked about this in Sunday school in Genesis. Adam and Eve sinned and she gave birth to those two boys, she gave birth to two natures. Sin gave birth to a nature that they never had before. You got two natures. You got Abel, type of Christ living in you that wants to do right. And you got Cain that says, look at me, look at me. It's all about my works. Amen? Let me ask you this. Has Cain slew Abel in your life? Think about it. Has your self-will and your pride slew Abel in your life? Are you running on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, walking with Him, trusting in His power and history? Ephesians chapter 6 is there for a reason. It's a battle. Put on the whole armor of God. Maybe we'll stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? There's a reason that chapter's in there. It's a battle. You say, well, the devil and all the Antichrist spirit and all the, you know, the Catholic Church. I don't have a Catholic cell in my body. I don't want one. If it gets in there, I hope my immune system gets rid of it. Amen. But the thing is, what you want to realize is that God wants you to be right with Him. He wants you to be right with Him. I think I lost my thought process on that. I got too far down the Catholic road on that. But God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be right with Him. He wants you to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm trying to be right with you, God. And He wants you to look back at you and say, you're doing a pretty good job in my strength. It's the power of God. It's the strength of God that we need. You're called. You're called to be sober. You're called to be obedient. You're called to be holy. And again, I'm not talking about all these particular legalistic things. I'm talking about having a relationship with God and submitting to the will of God. And then in verse 18 and 19 it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received from by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish and without spot. You elect, you're begotten, you're kept, you're tried, you're destined, you're called, you're redeemed.
Amen.
You're redeemed. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Well, think about what it means. Romans chapter 7. You sing that song different, amen? Verse 14, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I lie not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. That's Paul. That's Paul. Well, I don't see how you can't be saved and do that. Look at Paul, the struggle he had. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's your spiritual circumcision. You're separated from your flesh at salvation. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Isn't that something? But you're redeemed. Look what it says in 14 again. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You know sin doesn't have any more dominion over you unless you let it. You're freed from that. You're bought back. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You know what the law, again, get into a Bible study here a little bit, but you know the law was not given for salvation. The law was given so all men would become, the whole world would become guilty in the sight of God. The law is given for a schoolmaster pointing you to the only one that can keep the law is Jesus Christ. That being said, he's still calling you to be holy. So how can I be holy? When you do something wrong, get it under the blood and go on. And when God sees that, it's all good. Get it under the blood and go on. Amen? But you're redeemed, you're bought back, you're sold under sin, you're bought back. Sin doesn't have any dominion over you. I know the flesh and the spirit and the battle and all that stuff, and I know two dogs in a fight, which one's going to win? The one you quit feeding is going to lose. You quit feeding the flesh, the spirit will start winning. But those two natures are going to battle until the Lord calls us out of here, whether it's the undertaker or the upper taker. But you've got to realize you've been redeemed. You've got a reason to live for Jesus Christ. You've got a reason to live as a sober-minded person, as an obedient person, as a holy person. And that reason is to glorify Him. It's not about the flesh. You're not going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and God's going to be so impressed with your Impala or so impressed with your Malibu or so impressed with your Mustang or your Camaro. He's not going to be so impressed with your ability to do that. He's going to be impressed with how much you lifted up His Son and bragged on Him and glorified Him with what He gave you. You're redeemed. You know, if you take something to the pawn shop, some of y'all are like, man, he's been listening to me. He's been in my mailbox. I got the ticket the other day. You take something to the pawn shop, you cash that thing in, it's worth $10,000, they give you $8 or whatever it is, and then if you don't pay it off in 30 days, they take it and sell it for $2,000, whatever they do. But that thing sitting in that pawn shop, it has done nothing it's supposed to do, it's just sitting there. But when you redeem that, it becomes usable again. You're redeemed. You're bought back from the curse of sin. You're bought back from all that, and you're redeemed so you can live for Jesus Christ. You're a tool in the hand of God if you're in the hand of God. Bought back from the devil's pawn shop. That'd be a message, amen. Bought back from the devil's pawn shop. I mean, the ticket was about ready to expire, about ready to lose it forever, and the next thing you know, God walks in, and He lays the blood of Jesus Christ down on the counter, and He buys that tool back, and He puts it in the hand of the Father, and the Father says, I'm going to use this, and the Son says, praise God, we're going to use it to our glory, and you live, and you live your whole life for the glory of God, and you die knowing that you tried, you weren't perfect, but you tried, or you can die going, hey, I had all the things the world had to offer, and I got nothing. Redeemed. Look at chapter 6 of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Isn't that something? You're redeemed. You know, all around the world, in all different languages and different names of different churches, there are people singing that song about redemption, about being redeemed. You know what I wonder? I wonder how many people really think about what redemption is. It's not just going to heaven. You are bought with a price, and you are bought for a purpose. And that purpose isn't to get you to heaven. That's one reason. But the purpose is so you can glorify God. You can't, lost people can't glorify God. They can make up a generic God and have this generic thing going on. But if you're going to glorify God, you have to be saved, because it's the Holy Spirit of God in you that does it. And that's by you getting out of the way. Amen. Redeemed. You're elect, you're begotten, you're kept by the power of God. You tried, boy, you can go through some things. You're destined. Well, you're going to heaven. Old boy said you're going with you, like it or not, if you're saved, amen. Some people act like they don't like it. You're called to be sober, obedient, and holy, and you're redeemed. You're redeemed. Think about this. Now, I take my miter saw. I got a Delta 10-inch miter saw, a 12-inch. It cuts 4x4 and everything. I like that thing. I take that thing down to the pawn shop, and they say, we'll give you $5 for it. And I say, okay, whatever. And then you get the ticket, and it sets in there until I get $5 together. Until I get $25 together and go back and get my $5 saw. It was worth 8 to start with or whatever, you know. And you go back in there and you buy it and you take it, and I take it home, set it in the garage, and I never do anything with it. It never does its purpose. Why even buy it back?
Yeah, right.
You think God sits around shaking his head sometime or us going, why'd I even buy him back? I mean, think about it. I mean, God's long-suffering, not willing the nation perish, all come to repentance, and he's merciful, and he's different than we are, but could you imagine him sitting up there going, why did I buy him back? Why did I buy her back? She's just sitting around on the shelf doing nothing. I don't want you to do stuff because I beat you up over it. I want you to do stuff because you love Jesus Christ. If you do it for me, you're not going to get any rewards for it. But if you do it for him, amen. There are people out there blood-bought, born again, that have never told one person about Jesus Christ. I talk to people all the time, say, oh, you know Jesus Christ, your Lord, you know where you're going when you leave this place? Oh, I go to church. What church you go to? Well, I go to the church down there on the corner. What's the name? I don't know what the name of it is. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I go to church. Matter of fact, I teach this, that, or the other. They give you a list of things they do, and they never talk about Jesus Christ. That happens a lot. Y'all ever had that app? They don't even mention, Jesus Christ like a cuss word to them or something. They don't even mention Jesus Christ. They just tell you what they're doing. There are people all around the world that go to church every week. I don't know whether they're lost or saved, but I know there are a lot of people that don't do anything to glorify the Redeemer. And he's worthy. Hey, you're redeemed. You were sold under sin. You were on your way to hell forever. To spend an eternity in a lake of fire. Forever. And God chose to love you, to die for you, and to save you, and to keep you. What have you chosen to do for him?